If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Well, listener says, with regards to the youngsters at the Friary Church in Carrick and Shore causing all of the damage down there, it says, I don't agree with Marion that sports is the answer either, because they just wouldn't play sports. I live in a country area, a rural area, and I walk daily. The amount of bottles, disposable coffee cups and takeaway rubbish is absolutely dreadful, and wrapping paper of chocolate thrown in the ditches and sometimes on the roads. It's absolutely dreadful, says one of our listeners. 083-311-3311. It's time for gardening. Glad to be joined by Alton Nisbet from Centenary Home and Garden. Good morning to you, Alton.
Good morning, Fran.
And good to talk to you today. It's certainly been a lovely couple of days, hasn't it?
Absolutely gorgeous. And everything is bursting into good flower as well. I mean, it really is lovely time of year. I mean, what I like now at the moment is the lovely, even the malus cherry or malus trees, which are the flowering currants. These are malus jandowni or golden hornet. So it's a lovely flowering. You have the flowering currants, or you also have the ornamental crab trees. And these are fantastic at this time of the year. And there's also a lovely thing called Amelanchier, which is a snowy mespilus. It's a lovely pale white flowers comes out in it. And even the cherry trees that you see now in full bloom. Mm. So they're a really, really good time of year for the garden. And lots of things are starting to come up now. A lot of the herbaceous perennials and things are starting to sprout up as well. And see, because of that, once the things like the peony roses and even the hostas and things like that, it's important just to protect them from any slug damage that may attack them. So use the thing called an organic based slug pellets just at the very base of the hostas and the peony roses, so that it protects them from any damage from being nibbled by the slugs.
Mm, good tips there. A listener says, can I ask Alton about a camellia that's in the ground about 3 years that hasn't blossomed except for a few at the bottom of the plant for a short time last year? What could that problem be? That's in from Mary.
Yeah, with camellias, now they're acid-loving plants, so really it's very important to put them in an ericaceous compost. So then you have a compost that has no lime in it. So really, generally, what I tend to do if I'm planting them out into the garden is to dig quite a large hole for them, but line the hole, the wall of the hole, with plastic, and then fill it with an ericaceous compost, and plant your camellia in that compost and water it well after transplanting it. Use an ericaceous feed. Something like the rhododendron azalea feed is quite good. You can get a slow-release fertilizer of that and mix that into the compost when you're transplanting it. And that will give it good vigor and great growth on your camellia. Now, the camellias will tend to, you buy them now, and they're normally lots of flowers on them at this time of the year. And a lot of people do buy them at this time of year because they're very colourful looking. So really, about 2 or 3 years later, once they've stopped doing all that vegetative growth, they'll start thinking of reproduction, and so they produce loads of flower buds on them. In January, February, it's very important with camellias is to use a fleece over them, just to drape the fleece over them, protect the flower buds from any late frost or hard frost on them, because the frost tends to knock off the flower buds off it. So if you have a fleece over it, that protects the buds from any hard frost. Or plant them in somewhere where they're in a frost-free area. Somewhere near the base of a wall is very good, because the wall will protect them from any hard frost, or even in amongst your other trees or shrubs that do quite well. Because camellias prefer actually kind of dapple shaded areas anyway, because they tend to get bleached by the sun. You often get camellias get very pale leaf in colour, and that's usually to do with them either too exposed to the sunlight, or it's a lack of iron. So when they go very pale like that, use a sequestrator of iron feed, a liquid feed at the very base of the camellias. That will just make them more vigor and much, much better flowers on them, and a much, much healthier plant.
Right, a listener has rhubarb, 3 years old. It's gone to seed. Is there anything I can do at this point?
Now, as soon as the rhubarb starts, you see this flower spike coming up from the base of the rhubarb. So it's very important to cut that right down at ground level, right back down to where the rhubarb stool is. So you remove the flower stalk off it. give it a feed of sulfate of ammonia, just a fistful at the base of the tuber. This force will produce more leaves, and this is what you want. You want good stems and good leaves on it. So just give it a feed of that, and that will encourage more foliage on it and make it a much healthier plant. Once rhubarb stools tend to flower, they tend to say and they stop growing. So it's very important to remove the flower stalk as quickly as possible so that it saves the energy back into the tuber. And again, feed it with the sulfate of ammonia and you have much bigger, thicker stems on it and a healthier rhubarb plant.
Right. Somebody is wondering about cutting back roses at this point, Alton.
Yeah, with roses, I would cut them back now. Really, between September and March is a good time to do that. Now, if there's ones that are very old or straggly looking, do prune them back just about halfway to encourage more growth at the base of the roses. It'll be a much fuller plant. Again, any of the climbing roses, again, anything that's coming out from the wall, cut it back to 4 buds from the main stem. So it will force it to produce side shoots. There'll be side shoots along the wall and therefore encourage a lot more flowers facing you on the wall as well by doing that. It's a good idea is to feed them the roses now as well with a top rose fertilizer. There's something that has added magnesium in it, gives it more disease resistance to black spot and mildew and that as well. So you must have a much healthier plant. Again, in the next couple of weeks, you will get a certain amount of green fly on them as well. So just watch out for that. And you can spray with either a Nordoff, it's an organic-based spray, like pyrrole onto the foliage so that you keep the foliage nice and clean from any green fly or white fly that may be attacking them.
All right, Joan is wondering about horse manure. Is it good for a laurel hedge or an elder tree?
Horse manure is very good as long as it's a year old. But again, you don't put it right up to the neck of the plants or of the laurel. So leave it out a bit from it as a mulch, just down on the base of the hedge at either side. That helps to keep down weeds as well as conserve moisture in the soil as well by using it as a mulch at the base of the hedge. And it's very good, it's very nutritious. It helps to encourage better bacteria in the soil as well as it breaks down. So I would recommend mulching quite heavily with horse manure or farmyard manure because it just encourages or improves the soil structure.
But it has to be a year old.
It has to be a year old. Right. If you put on fresh manure on plants, what happens is there's a lot of ammonia in that, and that will tend to scorch a lot of plants if it's put onto them freshly. So you don't want that happening. So it has to be at least well composted, well broken down farmer manure or horse manure, and so that you don't get any scorching of your plants. You could be too kind sometimes by putting it on too freshly and you get too much damage, too much scorching on it. That's why even you're doing fertilizer or anything like that, especially with rose feeds as well, I often tell people it's just a fistful around each rose, no more than that. And some people tend to get too heavy-handed with it, and what they'll do is they'll just scorch their plants by putting too much fertilizer or manure onto the plants and do more damage than good. So again, just a light dusting of fertilizer at the base of every plant, and just at least as long as the farmer manure or the horse manure is over a year old, so you don't get any scorching.
Very good. Listener Marion, in fact, says, I have a green Leylandii hedge sown about 1987. I removed shrubs that were in front of it. I'm now left with a brown hedge. Will I have to remove it, or could I plant a shrub or climbing plant in front of that?
What I would do is almost do, let's say, another hedge in front of evergreens. Things like Ocuba, which would be quite nice. There's a lovely spotted laurel. These go up to about 7 foot high and that wide as well. Lovely round shape to them. So the Ocuba is, I think, called Barbus stenophylla, which is quite good evergreen as well. Lovely bright orange flowers out of it. So I would tend to plant evergreen shrubs in amongst those gaps where the hole started in the Leyland hedge, because Leyland won't recover. It won't resprout once it starts dying back like that. So it's much better to have something evergreen that's planted in front of it to, let's say, you're planting another hedge, really, in front of it to give you privacy and to fill up those gaps as well. So things like the Barbus stenophylla by Burnham Tynus is quite good, a Portuguese laurel, things like those are quite good. They're lovely, good, hardy, evergreen shrubs that are ideal to be planting in front of a Leyland hedge.
Right. The lawnmowers are going crazy over the last while. One of our listeners, again, wondering about moss in the grass and the best approach to this. This is something you spoke about last week as well.
Yeah. And really, because the moss is quite prevalent at the moment, and it's a good time to treat your lawns for any infestation of moss. So the one I like to use, and it's quite easy to apply, it's a granulated, it's a Hygeia weed feed moss killer. And so that you do a dressing that over the whole lawn. Now, generally what I tend to do is do a tip mow on the lawn, first of all. This is just to expose the moss, so it's easier to apply the granulated fertilizer on it, the Hygeia weed feed moss killer. So that burns away any moss that's on that and gets rid of that patch that the moss has formed. Mm. So any of the larger patches, I would tend to rake them out after about 3 weeks after applying the Hygeia, so that you get rid of any patch that's in the lawn, and use a number two grade lawn seed in those patchy areas where the moss has been, and that will fill out quite well. You can use a general fertiliser, something like the 7617, the potato manure fertiliser, which is quite good to green up your lawns now as well, just to have a lovely, healthy, rich green colour.
Right, and speaking of lawns, a listener says, I don't want to spend much money, so I want to set my own lawn, but I have little experience of gardening. Could Alton advise? It's a big job, isn't it?
It is. It's a lot of elbow grease. Now, so really what I would tend to do is to spray off the area. Now, you can use something like, if it's a new lawn that you're doing, is to spray off the area. If there's any weeds or that there, is to spray off with either something with Gallop. And that's quite an inexpensive spray, really, but it works quite well. Mm. It's a translocated chemical that will get rid of any broadleaf weeds that are in that area. So you're going to start off nice, clean and fresh with no weeds whatsoever. Now, you rake that area over as level as possible. Get rid of any stones or any humps or hollows that are in the lawn as well. Sow number two grade lawn seed, a utility grade lawn seed, in your lawn, so that it comes up nice and green. Mm. Now, again, if there's any curbing or that along as well, so an extra layer of lawn seed just along the edge of the curbing or the path, because you always find that around curbing where there's a lot of concrete, it tends to dry out during the summertime, and you have this kind of yellow stripe going down along the edge of the curb. So it's much better if you have an extra bit of lawn seed just along the edge of the curbing, so that it remains green and there's a good carpet of grass there as well. Mm. Again, use once after 6 weeks after the grass has germinated, use the potato manure fertilizer, like there's no low nitrogen, but it's a 7617 potato manure fertilizer that will help to boost down that lawn very well and green it up quite well. Now, you will have a certain amount of weeds that will come up with that as well. After 6 months, I've used something called Dicofar to get rid of any broadleaf weed that's in your lawn. So it keeps it looking clean and healthy.
So it is possible for somebody to do this, they have little experience. Yeah.
All it takes is a little bit of work and a little bit of motivation or breaking out any of the...
And do you not have to roll it anymore, Alton, do you not?
Well, I'm not a fan of rolling.
Are you not?
You know what happens with people rolling the seed or the after sowing, it tends to compact the soil, and what you have then in compaction, you get no aeration in the soil, and then you get these very patchy areas, or you don't get good germination. So generally, it's just a good idea after sowing the seed, is just do a light raking over the area, again, the lawn area, so that you get rid of any other stones that have come up and any humps or hollows, just to rake it out nice and evenly. No rolling, really, because you get much better germination after the rain. And of course, the heat is coming quite good now in the soil. The soil temperatures are coming up, so you get quite good quick germination with the number two grade lawn seed.
Very good. You might take a final one for me, if you would. It says, is it too late to ask, Alton, will SKB weed killer harm daffodil bulbs if it gets on their leaves when putting it on briars?
It will. So the SBK brushwood killer will kill anything that you spray it onto. So it's very important that you just apply it onto the the briar itself, so it works its way back to the main growth, the root of the briar. If you do spray it onto, if you accidentally do spray it onto daffodils, it will contort them and will weaken them as well. It'll actually kill any of the thing that you spray it onto. So be very careful. But any of these sprays, you can get the SPK in a litre size, ready to use handheld spray. But you can just spray it onto the foliage of the briar itself, and that will do quite a good job on the briar.
Yeah, somebody wanting to know, what do you think of grass seed mats? What's a grass seed mat?
You can get it's almost rolls like a carpet of grass.
Right.
That you can just roll out.
Right.
And that's a very good way actually, because it's already growing. And it's a quite quick and effective way of transforming a garden very quickly.
You still have to prepare the ground, I guess, though, wouldn't you?
You still have to prepare the ground. And yeah. Really, with the rollout lawn, I would really put down a kind of a silica sand underneath that, so that it gets good, it can root into it very quickly. So it's a good idea to do dressing that and water well after placing it down, just so that it root down into the silica sand and then into the soil.
Right, very good. Knowing you as I do, I know this is the last thing you want to talk about, but we heard you were involved in saving a man's life last week.
During the week a guy actually passed out in at the car park, and it was fantastic, really, because it was a great team effort that we brought him back. He actually had no pulse he was gone, and we did CPR and put him back into the recovery position, and he came back, and he's recovering quite well now. The Order of Malta are great for training that we received from them with the first aid.
But you did the CPR, didn't you?
We did that, and he really it is a fantastic thing that it worked out quite well, and we're all delighted.
And is he okay now? Is he?
Oh, he's okay, and he's a little sore, bit bruised, but he's recovering quite well. And we're delighted.
And was this in the centenary car park?
This is. He's just getting some plants and things, and pushed it into his boot of his car, and went around to the side of the car, and then collapsed. And he was gone, really, and we brought him back. So it's just great team effort from everybody, and it's great to have, let's say the
training.
Everybody was great. Now, really,
yeah.
Really
well, fantastic. Well, listen, well done to you and everybody else involved in that. Good to talk to you today. Thanks, Alton. Thank you. Good morning to you. Bye bye. That's Alton Nesbitt there from Centenary Home and a garden. That's it for me. Doc produced, and Stephen is on the way. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Look after yourselves, won't you? Bye bye.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.